This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
News just in. Bet365 is now live in Illinois.
That's right. Join Bet365 today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet $5, win or lose.
That's amazing.
That's for sure. With Bet365, you can bet on the spread, totals, and money line.
Well, there you have it, Illinois. Download the Bet365 app and get your $150 in bonus bets today.
And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Illinois. T's and C's apply.
Welcome, all you Bulls fans, to another episode of the Sports Ethos Bulls coverage. I am your host with the most, hostess with the mostest, Keith Cork, here joined by my good buddy and co-host, Trey Hill. And we're going to recap here the Bulls' victory over the Orlando Magic, 102-98. It was a closer game than it probably should have been, Trey, but the Bulls did pull it out. Kind of a bore fest, but the good news is both the Bucks and the Nets lost yesterday, which puts us not only one game, but now two games in the first place, which feels pretty good, right?
It just keeps on climbing. And speaking of keeps on climbing, if you go and you look at like the game recap of the Magic and Bulls, it also looks like a chart that just keeps on climbing together. The Bulls were just like a steady, 4 to 6 points ahead the entire game. They were up 5 at halftime. They were up 4 after the third quarter. It was just the same steady game, and they just refused to go away, led by Rookie of the Month, Franz Wagner, picked with the Bulls. Draft pick last year.
Yeah, we mentioned it before on our previous show, but that is a good pick for them. Turned out to be a great pick. Getting to watch this guy a little bit during this game. He's got the goods, man. He definitely is a solid player. I'd like to see how he performs on a good team. The Magic are not a good team. I think they have 7 wins on the season or something like that. So not necessarily the team that the Bulls need to worry about in any sense of the word. Bulls definitely should have won this game. They won this game, and they did pull it out at the end. But it was a little touch and go there. Obviously, the first quarter, the Magic jumped out to a pretty sizable lead. Bulls just struggled to hit shots, right?
Yeah, they were getting good looks, good open looks, and they just weren't knocking down shots. Franz earned his Rookie of the Month award partially in that first quarter against the Bulls, just completely abusing the smaller Bulls interior, besides Vucevic. And other than not knocking down shots, it seemed like the Bulls were the more talented team going against a bunch of, hungry, frisky Magic players who were getting all the right bounces. A year ago, 2 years ago, the Magic win this game. Mm-hmm. And, we're left feeling frustrated that we were the more talented team, but we weren't able to pull it out.
Yeah.
But the defensive effort, I think, really showed through. The Bulls, they held the Magic to 40 first half points. That was the season low overall for them. So that was the best they've done the entire year. And I think that really showed through when you watch the game, that even though the shots weren't falling and the Magic were able to get out and run a little bit, the Bulls were putting in the effort to get back. And that was good to see.
It was. I had a little bit of worry going into this game because it was kind of a danger here of a look ahead type game, because the Bulls have a long rest period here. Now, I think it's 4 days in between this game that they won against the Magic and their next game, which is coming up. So, it was a little bit of a worry here that the Bulls were just going to kind of look past the Magic here. It's not a team that you necessarily get up to play. And I think that did happen a little bit in the first quarter, the first couple quarters. But like you said, the Bulls just kind of have the talent. I was never really worried about them winning this game. They just had the talent to really catch up, right?
Yeah, you never were really concerned. It was really weird watching DeMar miss as many free throws as he did, though. He was 7 of 13 from the free throw line, and he'd been almost a 90% free throw shooter before this. And it got a little tight there towards the end. But Vucevic had a double-double again, 17 rebounds tonight. I think he had a double-double in the third quarter. I wrote down, I think they said it's his sixth straight game with 12 points and 12 rebounds. Averaging 16 rebounds over his last five. So your New Year's resolution continues to bear fruit.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that. So, yeah, Vuč ended up with that double-double, which, you know, definitely helped us out. And, of course, Kobe also came through, I believe, on his end. Let me just double-check here from three. How
two
we
of
shot.
Five, so 40%.
Yep. So he hit it, and the Bulls won. So there you go. Both of my New Year's resolutions for both those players came through. They've been absolutely great to start the 2022, both those players. I can't give them enough credit, because I have been critical of them in the past, obviously. So when they're playing well, they deserve some credit here. And I apologize, I got a little frog in my throat here, so clearing my throat intermittently or drinking lots of water. Felt a little bit under the weather today, but I'll power through here. But no, obviously we got Lonzo Ball back for this one, and he just had immediate impact. Even though he didn't shoot the ball particularly well, he actually used like what, 1 for 7, I think, from distance. 1 for 7 from distance, yeah. 1 for 8 overall. Didn't shoot the ball particularly well, but he had an immediate impact. I was watching him, especially when he got the rebound, and just what he would do off of that. But he, you know, full court pass immediately, 7:30 left in the first quarter. He hit Zach LaVine on a nice drive for a Zach LaVine dunk to get Zach going. There was a time at some point around 9 minutes left in the second, he grabs a board and immediately presses the ball to the floor. It was like a split second, man. And the ball is basically a half court. And actually, about a minute later in the game, in that second quarter, Io had the same thing. He had a rebound pretty much in the same spot that Lonzo Ball had it in. And just watching Io advance the ball up, you know, up to half court, as opposed to watching Lonzo advance the ball, it was kind of like Io was almost like stuck in mud. Like, it just seemed so much slower, which is really – and Io's not slow. Like, Io's team was not slow. But Lonzo Ball is just so incredibly fast with the way that he just presses the ball up the floor and gets us, you know, into the offense from our defense. Or from a rebound. It's just impressive, and it's nice to see that back.
He's like a computer with a lot of RAM. He just processes so quickly. It's as soon as he gets the ball, he knows, oh, Zach was already leaking out. I need to look ahead. And he, if you notice, when he gets the ball, he almost always goes into his like passing motion, like a full court pass, because he's always looking. And you know, if he doesn't see anyone, he just pulls it back. You mentioned he threw a full court pass to Zach for a dunk early in the first quarter. I'd written that one down because the Bulls were settling for a lot of open jump shots, and the shots weren't falling. And that fast break opportunity and that dunk kind of ignited the Bulls offense. And that kind of kick started it a little bit, because the Bulls fell down 0-8 against the Magic. And how you let the Magic get out to an 8-0 run on you to start the game when they're the team playing on the second night of a back-to-back, that's a rough look. But Lonzo was able to help spark the team out of that. And you mentioned he didn't shoot the ball well, but he had a great Lonzo line other than that. 7 assists, 7 rebounds, 3 steals.
And I love what you mentioned there about just as soon as he gets the rebound, he's looking up the floor and he's looking for that pass. He knows where his guys are going to be, because I actually marked that down too. If you guys have League Pass out there or some way to watch the game again, go to about a minute 20 left in the third. Lonzo grabs a rebound and immediately sees his eyes up the floor. He's already, like you said, he's already in his passing motion before his eyes even reach up the floor. He's already looking for that pass. He already knows his guys are going to be streaking. At that point in that rebound, it doesn't wind up with a pass. I mean, there's no one down the floor to pass it to, but he's looking, like you said, every single time he gets the ball, he's ready to go initiate the offense. And I love to see it, especially from a point guard. I just think it's a huge, huge boon to have him back. Without him, Bulls have managed to, you know, play pretty good basketball and win some games here. They just have enough talent, but he's going to be a difference maker when it comes time, you know, playoff time and playing against teams that are actually pretty good. It's going to be really great to have him running the point guard. But you are listening, guys, to the Sports Ethos podcast here, Bulls coverage. Listeners, please take a moment here to follow at Ethos Fantasy BK on Twitter, the single most dominant basketball and fantasy news feed on earth. Get all your NBA news in one handy Twitter feed. It's faster than the competition, provides more analysis too. Again, that's at Ethos Fantasy BK on Twitter. Go follow it now, guys. Okay, what else did you notice there, Trey?
I noticed that the last few games, it seemed like when DeMar was running the second unit, we were kind of asking him to score with not a lot of help around him. And having Lonzo in with that second unit with DeMar really helped him flourish, I felt like, especially in the first half. And that's going to be huge for this Bulls team because Caruso is great when he gets back, but he's not a playmaker. So I feel like DeMar having Lonzo with that release valve to where he can, you know, Lonzo can catch the ball. And he, like I said earlier, he already knows where everyone is. So he can immediately make, you know, that bullet pass to the corner, you know, that rotation pass, or fire it down into Vooch because he's got the mismatch because he set a screen for DeMar on the pick and roll on the other side of the floor. You know, Lonzo just makes the right play every time, and it's just nice to have him back.
Yeah, absolutely. And since we're not just, you know, giving Alonzo's flowers, I just want to talk about his defense quickly here. You know, especially in that third quarter, he had a series of plays, maybe within about a 3-minute stretch, where he had a steal and a block. But just even if he's not producing those kind of stats, you know, obviously he's just, his activity on defense is just what you expect from him. And you know, obviously I think the Bulls probably dropped this game without him. You know, I think that it's just a close enough game. It's a game where you feel like it could be a letdown game and the Bulls didn't come out with a lot of energy to open the game. So I just feel like this is a game where, you know, again, even though Lonzo didn't have a great shooting night, it's a game where the Bulls probably dropped this game without him. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a very fair assessment of the game, especially with the size he was able to add. They threw him on Franz there quite a few times, trying to slow him down a little bit. And he was, you know, Lonzo still gave up a few buckets because he just didn't quite have the size, but he was able to play really good defense on a guy that was a lot bigger than him. So he came through and was able to give the Bulls exactly what they needed to get the victory, that's just kind of the theme for the Bulls this season. The team's willing to sacrifice, do what they need to do, just so that way they come out with the win.
Yep. And even if he's not eating those shots, I mean, just the fact that he spaces the floor, he's a threat from that distance, it still helps a lot. And like you said, Franz Wagner, don't want to, you know, bury this guy. Got to give him his flowers. He had a fantastic game. He's playing really well for this Orlando Magic team. Totally deserves Rookie of the Month. So glad he got that. 28 minutes, he had 22 points on 8 of 13 shooting, 1 of 2 from beyond the arc, 5 of 5 from the line, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal. That 1 steal is something I actually noted down, Trey, because he had some pretty good defensive possessions, especially against DeMar DeRozan. But he had a steal, I think, about 5 minutes left in the third, where he just like stole the ball from DeMar and, you know, ended up rallying again the Orlando Magic. So, it was 5 minutes left in the second quarter. He had that steal from DeMar. That was his one steal for the game. Just ripped it from him, had good defense. So, again, just a guy, he's just solid on both ends. So I definitely think he deserved that Rookie of the Month award.
Just as DeMar deserved the Player of the Month award he received.
Yeah, that's true. Eastern Conference Player of the Month, DeMar DeRozan, so can't sell that guy short either. Let me mention Troy Brown Jr. He is a guy. I'm going to talk about him in a little bit here about a question I have for you, Trey, about a potential trade scenario. So he's a guy I think that's kind of expendable for the Bulls at the end of the day. But he had a really good game in this one, and obviously had a few really athletic plays. He's flashed some athleticism in his career. I remember watching him with the Washington Wizards. He had some really nice games. You know, he can play the point guard position or he can play the small forward position. So has a lot of versatility. Defense is pretty good for what he brings. And then obviously offensively, he's kind of hit or miss, but he had a pretty good game in this one. I thought, you know, especially in the first quarter, the first half, he had a lot of really positive activity for the Bulls and was getting, you know, making the right pass, getting to the right areas of the floor.
Yeah, I think if he continued, his cutting was really what I remember noticing against the Magic, was he was able to, when his man would help off, he was making the Magic defenders pay. So I don't know how much value he's going to have. Do you think Javonte Green would have more value
in a potential trade you're talking about?
Yeah.
You know, I think Troy Brown Jr. actually probably has a little bit more value just because of his age. I think he's what, 22, 23, 24, somewhere in that.
Okay.
Yeah. Somewhere in that age range. Let me just look it up real quick.
Yeah, he's 22.
22, yeah. So I was going to say he's pretty young there. So I think that's really the only reason, because Javonte is what, 28, I think. 27, something like that. So I think just the fact that he's younger gives him a slight edge. 28 is what Javonte is. So he's a little younger there.
Yeah, for some reason I was thinking they were a little bit closer in age. So yeah, never. Yeah, I think Troy Brown has. I think he'd be a good trade bait piece. Mm-hmm. I think he'd be, especially if you don't want to move Kobe. The question is though, if you're trying to offer him as your best piece, what really are you going to get back in return?
So I'm doing a little bit of a trade deadline mock, basically a mock trade deadline here with Stephen Bagel, our friend over from the NBA Eagle podcast, as well as the Bird Rights podcast, which you all should follow, one of the Sports Ethos pods. And I'm in a little chat there, and I'm running the Bulls, and I'm getting involved potentially here in a three-team trade that would net us Marcus Morris Sr. So we get Marcus Morris Sr., we give up Troy Brown Jr., Derek Jones Jr., and a future second. What do you feel? How do you feel about that trade?
Say it again.
We would get Marcus Morris Sr., which I think is a good get for us.
Okay,
I think
is which a good, team? Which team? Which team is? Are you?
I'm the Bulls. Okay. So I'm giving up. It's a three-team trade. I don't know exactly what the whole trade looks like. All I know from my end is that I would be getting Marcus Morris Sr. and I'm giving up Derek Jones Jr., Troy Brown Jr., and a future second-round pick.
I'm just not a big Morris guy.
Mm.
We have enough shooters on our team that I don't know though. He could guard some of those bigger guys. Like he could guard Giannis a little bit.
That's my thing, is that he's
all right, sell me on Marcus Morris.
Yeah, so basically I see Marcus Morris Sr. as, you know, he's basically Derek Jones Jr., but he's not as good. He's a little bit different for Derek. He's a better scorer than Derek Jones Jr. So he's a better shooter, better scorer. But I think that he can play defense 1 through 4, whereas, you know, and I think Derek Jones Jr. can do that too, but he brings better offense. So I think he's just a slight upgrade over Derek Jones Jr. And I think that's the kind of guy that we're looking for on the low end, obviously. Like I know there's a lot of talk out there about landing, you know, Jerian Grant, which I think is a bit of a pipe dream. I think it'd be nice if we can do it. I think it's going to be hard for us to be able to do that, though, especially with the salary. So, you know, if you're looking for somebody that fits more in the salary cap scenario, I think Marcus Morris Sr. is kind of a guy that's a prototype for the guy that we're looking for. And I think his defense, you know, don't undersell his defense. I think his defense is really solid. You know, I've been watching him a little bit with the Los Angeles Clippers, and I think he's filled in pretty well for that Kawhi Leonard role in being a two-way player.
Now, I know you said they both basically can guard 1 through 4. However, I feel like we've had Derek Jones Jr. play the small ball 5 role some minutes this season. Do you think that's a role that Marcus Morris could play given, you know, the surrounding cast that he would have on the Bulls? Because we are a pretty versatile team.
Mm. I
guess that would be my question.
I don't think we're looking at one move for the Bulls here. I think we're looking at a few moves, especially if they get somebody that's a lower end guy like Marcus Morris. I think they need to upgrade Tony Bradley Jr. or Tony Bradley. I'm not. I like Tony Bradley. I just don't think he's not the guy. I don't think he's the guy for this team. I think he deserves to go to a team and get minutes and be a backup center. I think he's a very solid backup center. I think the Bulls need to go out and get somebody that's more of a, you know, more of a force, I think, in the paint. You know, someone like I know it's not this guy, but someone like a Hassan Whiteside, someone who's going to give you 15 minutes and just be a brutal rim protector. I would love for them to go get like Naz Reid, obviously, but that's not going to happen. Just someone like that. You know, I think the Bulls are really going to be in the market to buy on a guy like that. Hopefully a young guy too. I just don't think Tony Bradley's the answer.
That's fair. If they make multiple moves, I agree with that. I think he's fine as a backup big and to have like kind of as a secondary big because he is a large human. And with teams like Cleveland and Milwaukee, especially if Lopez, you know, ends up coming back, sometimes you just need to have that size out there to get some rebounds, you know, if things are kind of steering one way. So
I would love a Robin Lopez return. Can I just say that? Can we get Robin Lopez back on the team?
that would be nice. Yes.
He was great.
Oh, I was gonna say I'm with you. If they can make a couple moves and upgrade that Tony Bradley position and also get a guy that they think can guard those bigger fours, then I think that's an A+ trade deadline for the front office.
But we are talking about the future here. And actually, just to get back to the Magic game here, near the end of the first quarter, I felt like I was, and there were a few instances in this game where I just felt like I was watching the future of the Bulls, and it looked really bright. Specifically near the end of that first quarter, Troy Brown Jr. gets a big block. Kobe White with the steal and a pass ahead to Sunmu. Kobe White with the lay-in to finish the quarter through contact. He had a few lands like that. Just the young kids came out and gave us great energy at times. So I know sometimes when you're – after a game like this, it's hard to sell some of the fans sometimes on trading some of these young players. But, like we've been saying, I mean, the Bulls have a bit of a window here where they're looking like a very good team. And, DeMar DeRozan and Vucevic aren't going to be around forever. So you have to kind of cash in on some of those good young players at this point. So, I'm looking at some of those guys as potential trade bait, even though it's going to hurt me to get rid of them, right?
Right, and especially with us not having first-round picks that we can trade in the future, we're going to have to bite the bullet and trade some actual people. Mm-hmm. And, they're not just assets, they are people. It will be unfortunate to lose them, but I trust in AK and Mark Eversley in the front office. They have good connections. They've made smart decisions so far, and I expect them to find some great value, because Vucevic was a great trade. We got Javonte Green, we got Troy Brown Jr., we got Daniel Tice. Like, those were all really quality players for the Bulls, and I expect nothing less than more excellence from this regime.
Yeah. The Bulls, obviously they closed that gap quickly after that initial run by the Magic with some threes from Derrick Jones Jr., Troy Brown Jr. So some unlikely heroes, some guys stepping up. Kobe just, again, his activity on defense was great. I know Billy Donovan mentioned it recently that that's what he was looking for, was just his defense. So I thought he played a pretty good game on that side of the ball, too, this time. What do you think?
Yeah, I had two plays in the first quarter. 4:25 left in the first and 2:50 left in the first. He just had some excellent defensive plays, just staying in front of his guy, challenging the shot. The one at 2:50, I think he got switched onto a big and just, forced the guy into a tough layup, and he missed the layup. That's 2 points that the Bulls, got back because Kobe was aggressive on defense. And I think he's just – they mentioned it on the broadcast a lot. He's playing with a lot of confidence. He seems to kind of – he's fit into his role, and it's really nice. I say that every I say this every podcast. It's nice to see, but he just continues to improve, and he continues to look comfortable, and it's going to be what the Bulls need come playoff time.
Yeah. So, good games from Kobe. If you're out there playing fantasy, he might be a good scoop up here. If you're a team that's in need of points, he's really good in a points league because he can get hot in a hurry, especially if you're like games captain and you think he's going to have a big game, you can play him. But speaking of fantasy, guys, we do have a brand new daily fantasy partner at Sports Ethos, Thrive Fantasy. Prop up with Thrive Fantasy on their mobile app or at thrivefantasy.com. Use code ETHOS when you sign up to get 100% deposit match bonus on your first deposit up to $100, plus either 2 or 4 free game tickets to play. Pick player props on the biggest names playing every night. Score points when your props hit, and the players with the most points win a share of the nightly prize money. And check out our Sports Ethos DFS team, which includes me, or podcast for advice on winners. Again, that code is ETHOS over at thrivefantasy.com. Thrive Fantasy is a lot of fun, man. Been playing and messing around a little bit over there. Good stuff, good competition, fun. I just love, I love to do this stuff for fun. I'm not like looking to make a living off of it, but it's good time. So
it makes it a little more exciting.
Yeah. So speaking of a little more exciting, the Orlando Magic made the end of this game a little bit more exciting than it should have been. I want to talk about Zach LaVine for a minute here. Zach, I specifically want to talk about how frustrated he was getting with the referees towards the end of this game. He was taking a bit of contact. I think he got a little bit maybe too wrapped up in it. But he was really riding that one ref. I don't know his name. But he made a bank shot with about 3:45 left in the fourth. And he got fouled, but he didn't get the call. And there was a traveling call a little bit earlier in that quarter where he got bumped again and didn't get a call, and they called traveling on him. So is Zach, is he making too much of an issue out of this? Is he getting too wrapped up in the reffing, or what are your feelings there?
I mean, I also had to calm him down the other game. Mm-hmm. What was that, the last game before this one, I believe? I think a lot of guys are getting frustrated because, you know, they're getting hit and they're expecting to get calls like they have in previous years, and they're just not calling it anymore. And it's taken some adjustment to get used to, and some guys are probably just getting frustrated because I don't feel like Zach's changed the way he's played. I think he's still kind of playing the same, you know, aggressive style. He's just, like everyone else, not getting as many calls as he's used to. So, you know, I'm not going to say he's making too much of it. If I was getting hit and I was getting fouled, I would, you know, I would also want those calls to come up. But I hope come playoff time, it's not something that we have to have, you know, I or someone else, you know, yelling for him to, you know, come running back or hold DeMar back, you know, from whenever he was, you know, almost walking over to the referee. So it is what it is. I'm not overly worried about it.
Yeah, no, it's a, that's a good point. I mean, I'm not super concerned about it, but at the end of the day, I mean, you just got to play basketball, man. It's he did get fouled, you know, based on any, even this year or last year, you know, any kind of marker you're going to use, he definitely got fouled. So he had a right to complain, but he wasn't doing it. He's just so animated. I was worried that he was going to get a technical in a game that was close. You know, obviously we won by 4 points, and we'll talk about how that happened in a minute here. But it's really costly to get a technical foul and to give up 3 points in a scenario like that. And Zach needs to keep his cool. So I would implore Zach to do that. But I think he did a pretty decent job of it. But there were a few times he got a little bit too animated, in my opinion.
Animated, and I don't know if the listeners have ever listened to Zach talk, but his voice is so deep that, like, if he's saying something angry to me, like, I'm going to be a little intimidated by it. He's just a very deep voiced man. And so I wouldn't want him yelling at me if I was a referee.
I had that problem when I was, like, in sixth grade because my voice dropped. I was tall. My voice dropped. Like, I was, you know, a little bit intimidating to, like, some of these sixth grade teachers. And so, they would always
You were a big man on campus, weren't you?
I was center until, like, high school. Then I ended up having to play point guard, which, you know, I was like, wait, I have to handle the rock now? This makes no sense. I want to bang in the post. So it was a bit of a interesting journey for me. But, no, I hear what you're saying. That's an interesting point about his voice. I didn't even think about that, but that is true. If you have like a deep voice and you can come off as a little bit more intimidating than you mean to. So, but no, the Bulls, obviously, you know, the Magic were making that comeback. Vooch, I thought, had a huge tap out with about 2:30 left. You know, say what you will about that Wendell Carter trade. I think Wendell's having a fantastic year. Going to be a good player in the league, going to be a nice role player, but the Bulls definitely won that in terms of a basketball standpoint. Don't you think?
So if I'm the Magic, if I'm a Magic fan, I can also frame it as if we won the trade because they were able to get Wendell Carter Jr. And Franz is going to be, I think he's going to be a star. Maybe not like a superstar, maybe not quite an all-star, but like I think he's going to be a star. I think he could be a very good player on a championship contending team. I think he's that good of a player. And the reason the Magic were able to do that is because the Bulls had such a rough time after the Vucevic trade last season. If things had went according to plan for for AK and company, and Vucevic and Zach had gotten to play together, and they would have, you know, made it into the play-in because this team clearly had the talent to get into the play-in if they were able to play together, even without the additions, just with Zach and Vooch. I think it's clear that they would have been able to make the play-in. So if they make the play-in and the Magic are picking, you know, 10, 11, 12, and they get somebody who's in the G League right now, you know, like James Bouknight or however you say his last name on the Hornets, then it's not such a win because it went so, you know, because it was worst case scenario for the Bulls, the Magic lucked into getting that better draft pick from us. So to me, it's a win-win for both teams, but I think the Bulls won the trade because even though it was worst case scenario for the Bulls, it's still a win for the Bulls.
Yeah. No, I think, and I think you're saying it just in different terms than what I'm saying. So basically, the way I would say it, and this is just, I think, terminology, but the Bulls won in a basketball sense, the Magic won in a overall GM sense, right? Like they improved their position, I think. The Bulls didn't necessarily improve their position in terms of like amassing assets, but they won in the terms of winning basketball games, which is what is important to them right now. So like you said, both teams won the trade. I think it was a good trade for both teams. But I think the Bulls, in my, from my terminology, won in the basketball sense. And like I said, Vooch had that big tap out with 2:30 left, which really went a long way towards winning this game because then the Bulls could run a little bit more clock. They were up 8 with about a minute 30 left, and you just had that feeling like everything was in hand, everything was well in hand, and we were just going to take this game. But the Magic made a run. Kobe hit a jump with 50 seconds left. They were still up 8. You know, you're like, okay, this is it. And then the Magic could steal on Levine. Then we had a bit of a shaky play with Kobe, nearly throwing the ball away. DeMar missed, a free throw at the end there. Missed a couple free throws down the stretch.
Yeah.
And then they fouled Wagner on that three. And all of a sudden, it's a two-point game or a four-point game. I can't remember what it was with, 30 seconds left. So it ended up being a lot closer than it had to be, right?
Yeah, we definitely had to sweat it out. And it was nice to see them be able to, at least close it out in the end, even though it was closer than you want it to be. You like the guys getting those reps on, tense free throw situations because you're going to have close games the further you get. And so having been in that situation, that's not a bad thing, especially when you come through. So you have that positive, memory of, hey, I've been here. We've won this, we've done this before.
And how did you feel about that flagrant foul at the end of the game? I think it was RJ Hampton just kind of ripped DeMar's head off his neck under the basket. It was a bit excessive, I felt like, but it wasn't. I didn't think there was a malicious intent there, right?
Oh, no intent at all. I feel like he was definitely told if they go up to shoot it, you make sure it doesn't go in.
Exactly.
And we've all done that. We've all been there. We've all done that. And he just happened to catch him in the head, which that makes it a flagrant. Like those are the rules. That's the risk, and that's the risk you play. That's the risk you have when you swing that wildly.
Yeah, and like you said, he was just trying to prevent a basket. Like I said, we've all been in that scenario, especially in high school. I remember I was basically, I wouldn't call myself an enforcer, but I was a good defensive player. That's what kept me on the floor. And there were times when a guy's 6'3", 6'4", and I'm 5'8", and so that's what I need to do to make sure that basket doesn't go in. And it just happened to be he got him around the neck. I think there was no bad blood there. DeMar definitely got up and said, no big deal, and everything was all good. But like you said, it was definitely a flagrant just by the rules. So they called it, and we move on with our lives. But hey, one last thing before we go, Trey, is, DeRozan, obviously, like I said, missed those free throws down the stretch there. And then he got up supposedly 250 free throws at the UC right after the game in full uniform. About 30 minutes after the game, he started shooting those supposedly. How do you feel about that? Is that just a what are your thoughts there?
Cool story. I mean, good for him. I would have been frustrated, too. And as someone who loves basketball, who being on the court, I understand it can be kind of like a safe space, like a peace of mind thing. So after having such a poor performance in front of so many people, I bet it would be cathartic to go out there and, shoot 200, 250 free throws, especially if you have guys that are just going to rebound the ball and hand it right back to you.
Yeah.
So I believe it 100%. He's a 90% free throw shooter anyway, so it's not like he struggles to knock them down on a regular basis. So I think it's a cool story. I'm glad, it's nice to see that he's dedicated, but we know he's dedicated. That's why he has the footwork he has. That's why he can do the things he does. That's why he's going to be on MVP ballots because, that's who he is.
Well, that's my, for me, I wonder how much of that, going out there is just show, right? I mean, yeah, he probably, like you say, is probably a cathartic thing for him, but also he probably wanted to practice it. There's a basketball reason for it too. But I think for me, it probably comes down to, he knows that he's in the MVP chatter now. He knows that his teammates are watching. So I wonder go ahead.
Do you think they're going to have a couple days off right now, though? Mm-hmm. Because this was a home game, mm-hmm. and now they're off for 4 days before another home game against Washington. So I wonder if maybe, they had the next day off, and he was like, I want to get these shots up before I have my off day.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm making excuses for him because he's my guy.
Well, sure. I mean, I bet this guy has a freaking home gym at home. Like, he can go put up free throws anywhere. But he had cameras there and he had a media there. So that's why I'm thinking it's more for show. And I'm not saying, you know, it's a bad thing that he did it or anything like that. I just think, like you said, cool story, bro. Yeah, I mean, that's awesome. You know, whatever. It's not that big of a deal. People are going to make a bigger deal out of it than it probably is. But no, I'm glad he did it. Go DeMar. I'm a big fan. I'm a homer. So at the end of the day, like you said, yeah, go do it. Have a good time. But that's going to do it for us, guys. Quickly, before we sign off, we want to also remind you all to use coupon code HoopBall20 at manscaped.com for 20% off your order and free shipping. And also check out our pals at mybookie.ag. Use code HoopBall on the third page of sign up to unlock deposit match bonuses there as well. But we're going to be off here for a few days. I don't think we're going to put out a show, but we will put out one, obviously, for the recap of Friday's game where they play the Wizards. And then also we are going to probably have another guest on here this upcoming weekend. We're going to work on getting a good one for you guys. But that's it. That's going to do it for us. I am Keith Cork. You can find me on Twitter at BSBPKeith. And Trey, where can the good people find you? Good people.
On Twitter at Final Finally.
All right, and follow the show, guys, at Ethos Bulls. I'm going to go, like, down a bunch of tea and take a rest. But go Bulls. Everyone, have a good day.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
News just in. Bet365 is now live in Illinois.
That's right. Join Bet365 today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet $5, win or lose.
That's amazing.
That's for sure. With Bet365, you can bet on the spread, totals, and money line.
Well, there you have it, Illinois. Download the Bet365 app and get your $150 in bonus bets today.
And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Illinois. T's and C's apply.